Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 9 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night, the 10th of August, and this is the Committee of Safety Show. Who's taking it tonight?
Must be up for grabs.
Must be. Captain, where are you? Captain John, Mickey?
I don't see Captain John. Veronica's here.
No wonder. I'm here trying to talk, and I was muted. Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Through the chain of command, Captain John had given me my assignment, okay? I'm just a third-class petty officer here, so let me go on with my assignment. My assignment for tonight is to review portions of the 1505-20 mandamus to the May 20th, 2015 mandamus to the sheriff that I read last week, and then to read the February 22nd, 2016 information to the court document that can be found on the NLA website. Now, I put the information in the content or in the comment section at the COS site. However, I'm going to read it now that under the grand jury tab, if you go to the grand jury tab, and then when you highlight that tab, you'll see docket. Click on docket, then scroll down to information and writs. And I'm not going to read all of the mandamus to the sheriff. You'll see that 15-05-20 mandamus to the sheriff. That'll be there for you to follow along. And if there is questions afterward, just go ahead and ask them, because I'm not reading it all. I read it last week. And then we're going on to the 16-02-22 information courts. Both of them are PDFs that you can download and follow along. Any questions so far? Okay, and then after reading the information to the court or information court document, we're going to open up the call lines and you'll be able to discuss your experiences with your sheriff. Okay, we'll open that up because what you have to say, it may not seem like any kind of a big thing at the time, and when you say it, though, it may trigger some thoughts for somebody else or they had a similar experience, and then we can kind of bring them forward and discuss how to handle them, okay? So, therefore, let me go on. And from the county sheriff document last week's document, that is, and that is the mandamus to the sheriff, I'm going to just kind of highlight some of the things that John had mentioned that might be pertinent to leading into the information PDF. All right, the county sheriff, for one, these are some of the duties of the county sheriff. He is the conservator of the peace. If the sheriff is ignorant to the Constitution, which is common law, it would stand to reason that he is in violation of his oath, not comprehending when judges and politicians violate the common law, and thereby technically guilty of treason. So the duties, responsibilities, and the authorities of the sheriff cannot be dismissed by those in the legislature, the courts, and state constitutions. When it comes to enforcing the law, U.S. Constitution, that is. Is there a problem with the... Okay. When it comes to enforcing the law, that is the U.S. Constitution, the sheriff, being the chief law enforcement officer, answers to no one, not even the governor. Like any other elected official, the sheriff cannot be removed from office by another elected official. He can only be removed by the people at the ballot box, recall, or by indictment or presentment of a grand jury. The United States Supreme Court said, the sheriff is, and I quote, the chief executive and administrative officer of a county chosen by popular election. His principal duties are in aid of the criminal and civil courts of record, in other words, common law courts, such as serving process, summoning juries, executing judgments, holding judicial sales, and the like. He is also chief conservator of the peace within his territorial jurisdiction. The sheriff, and that's end quote, the sheriff being the chief law enforcement officer and highest peace officer of the entire county in which he was elected is to secure the peace and answer to the people alone. Unlike the state police, who are code enforcement officers serving the state and answering to the governor, and city, town, and village police, who are also code enforcement officers serving the corporate municipalities and answering to commissioners or mayors, all have a conflict of interest because they have no constitutional authority or concerns. They cannot serve the code and the Constitution. Whoever is rattling, can you mute your phone, please? Whereas the sheriff reports directly to the people and not to the corporation, the duties, responsibilities, and authorities of the county sheriff as constitutional officer are, at the minimum, the same as they were when the state constitutions were originally written. If sheriffs and marshals need to consult a bar judge, bar attorney, or bureaucrat to know when they exceeded their authority, it's no different than consulting a fox concerning the hen house. If the sheriff cannot ascertain if a judge or any other government servant is abusing their powers and thereby violating the inalienable rights of the people without asking the fox how to perform his duty, if a politician, judge, or prosecutor violates the Constitution in the duty, it is his duty, or it is the duty of the sheriffs and marshals to call the grand jury and ask the prosecutor, duty of the sheriffs and marshals to call the grand jury and ask the people for an indictment. This is your responsibility. If you seek permission of a prosecutor, and this is talking to the sheriff, if you seek permission of a prosecutor or a judge or on any arrest, you shirk your authority, become a tool of the same, and thereby violate your oath. No politician can come between you and the people. Regardless of what you have been taught, it is the duty of the sheriff to seek an indictment, not the prosecutor. Prosecutors call the grand jury when the state has an issue, but the people's business is the sheriff's business, and it is his duty to protect the same from those who would encroach upon their rights. Likewise, the courts exist to serve and protect the people from criminals and tyrants. Constitutional officers versus code enforcement officers, and that is, again, this is on the sheriff, the mandamus to the sheriff. The principal challenges to the sheriff are code enforcement officers. Codes, statutes that control the behavior of people are repugnant to the Constitution and are therefore null and void. The sheriff has a duty to uphold the Constitution. This poses a dilemma because the sheriff must obey the United States Supreme Court ruling and the United States Constitution in order to uphold this oath. He must first understand it. This is the purpose of this writ. We are a Republican form of government guaranteed by U.S. Constitution Article 4, Section 4, which means rule of law and in America's case, common law. When an organization like the bar advocates the overthrow of the Constitution, that is common law, they are advocating the overthrow of our government in violation under 18 U.S.C. 23858. That's 18 U.S.C., I'll repeat it again, Section 23858. When a judge violates the Constitution and the sheriff seeks permission from the prosecutor to seek an indictment, and if the prosecutor refuses to indict and the sheriff submits to the will of the prosecutor, did not the sheriff break his oath and become part of the conspiracy to cover up a crime? This is a question to ask. Is the sheriff now guilty of felony rescue? When judges break the law, it is the duty of the sheriff to arrest the judge and go directly to the grand jury for an indictment. It is only recently, 50 or so years, that the sheriff has been unlawfully told he must first filter the crime through the bar taught prosecutors who work for the state and not the people, and almost always refuse to bring the crime before the grand jury when a state official is involved. This is exactly why America is in a constitutional crisis. If we can educate the sheriff, we the people working with the sheriff can save America. Another obstacle the sheriffs must recognize is the puppet grand jury or grand and trial juries. Because the juries are controlled by the foxes, meaning the judges and the prosecutors, the jurors are led to deliberate by the all-controlling bar prosecutor. They will first be instructed by the said prosecutor of the statutes they must follow, not the common law, but the statutes they must follow, and thereby trumping the common law. This, of course, is jury tampering, and we will be setting our face against that soon. The dilemma for the sheriff is, what am I to do? The solution is simple. Take the case to the common law grand jury. Clearly, you cannot take it to the unlawful puppet jury controlled by the foxes. Lysander Spooner, in Trial by Jury 1852, said, quote, any government that is its own judge of and determines authoritatively, for the people, what are its own powers over the people, is an absolute government of course. It has all the powers that it chooses to exercise. There is no other, or at least no more accurate definition of despotism than this. On the other hand, any people that judge of and determine authoritatively for the government, what are their own liberties against the government, of course, retain all the liberties they wish to enjoy. And this is freedom. At least it is freedom to them, because although it may be theoretically imperfect, it nevertheless corresponds to their highest notions of freedom. We the people, that's end quote from Lysander Spooner. We the people across America in every state of the Union are doing exactly that which we should have been doing all along. Since we discovered this truth through the United States Supreme Court decision, whereas in the 1992 case, U.S. versus Williams, Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, made clear the law when he said, because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside, we think it clear that, as a general matter at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists, and that the disclosure rule applied here exceeded the Tenth Circuit's authority. Rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of buffer or referee between the government and the people. Although the grand jury normally operates, of course, in the courthouse and under judicial auspices, its institutional relationship with the judicial branch has traditionally been, so to speak, at arm's length. Judges' direct involvement in the functioning of the grand jury has generally been confined to the constitutive one of calling the grand jurors together and administering their oaths of office, end quote. Clearly, it takes fortitude for a people to step up, take control, and do the right thing for God, country, and your posterity. This is your duty. This is the moment in time and history that will define your integrity of your or your lack thereof. We, the people, under the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, have tolerated inaction because, like us, we were once ignorant of the truth. We have woken to the hard reality and have decided to do the just thing for ourselves and our posterity. Now you know. Your choices. Number one, step up and do the right thing. Number two, resign and pass the mandamus to your successor. Or three, prepare yourself to face this body in due time for treason. The U.S. Constitution is a common law document which in turn demands obedience to the common law. Article 6, paragraph of the U.S. Constitution reads, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. Therefore, when there is conflict between the law and statutes, the Constitution must prevail because statutes are not laws law unless we the people gave the legislators authority to write such law through the Constitution. This is Law 101. It does not get any more difficult than this. See the quo warranto filed on November 10, 2014, and we've already read that one too. That's in the files here. Sheriff's duty in the courts. Bailiffs must be the sheriff's deputies. Trained to understand their duties, they must be approachable by the people in order to report constitutional violations in the courthouse. They must have the fortitude to remain or to remove a judge from the bench when judges violate people's unalienable rights. Unalienable rights are given by God and cannot be trumped by legislators. If there is a conflict between the two, the common law must prevail. Right to counsel by non-bar members. Often in criminal courts, when people desire to speak for themselves or have assistance of counsel that are not bar members, judges reject and resist any moves in that direction. Judges continue to force bar lawyers that were taught in their bar schools to never bring common law into their courts. If they do, the bar judge or bar prosecutor would report them so that they would lose their bar license and be barred from the court. Now remember, a license is something that is required to do something that is otherwise illegal. So if these things were illegal under the common law, what are they licensed for? They're licensed to do something that is otherwise illegal, right? Just remember that when you're talking to a, quote, licensed bar attorney. If the victim, that was ad-lib, by the way, if the victim continues to resist, the judge may incarcerate the victim for contempt or order a competency test and then force a bar attorney on their victim. Sheriffs and deputies fail to realize that the judge is violating their victim's unalienable right protected by the Sixth Amendment. If the sheriff does nothing, he is compliant to the conspiracy. And by the way, a competency test, just keep in mind that good mental health are people who feel good about themselves, feel good about others, and are able to make the demands of life. If we were not doing this, we would not be able to make the demands of life for us and our posterity. So just kind of keep that in mind if, you know, a judge tells you you're crazy and have to go for a competency test. They feel good about themselves, feel good about others, and they're able to make the demands of life. And it's not easy for fearful and unbelieving people. That's another ad lib, by the way. Our elected servants are out of control, and America is operating under fiction of law. It is the duty of the sheriff working with the people, if necessary, to protect the unalienable rights of the people by simply enforcing the aforesaid laws, and only then will America run on the law again. Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be, end quote. Sheriffs took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, but if they don't know the Constitution, how can they uphold and defend it? Sheriffs need to learn the common law and teach it to the deputies or resign their position. It is imperative that sheriffs know the difference between courts of records and courts not of record, because courts not of record cannot incarcerate. And if a sheriff incarcerates someone held or tried in a court not of record, that sheriff participates in a crime by violating a person's unalienable right of due process protected by the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. Bill of Rights, the Fourth Amendment, quote, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things being to be seized. Bill of Rights Amendment 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on the presentment or indictment of a grand jury. End quotes. Sheriffs cannot continue to receive prisoners that were tried in courts not of record. If the sheriff believes that some of the accused are guilty of a crime, he will need to bring the issue to a grand jury for indictment to be tried in a court of record. The following U.S. Supreme Court ruling being common law proves that point. Or actually the preceding, I should say. And that would be U.S. versus Williams. Okay, sheriff's duty in the county. The sheriff being chief executive administrative, chief law enforcer, CLEO, and highest peace officer of the entire county in which he was elected has absolute authority to arrest even the governor or a judge, and then called the grand jury directly for indictment. A sheriff need not get permission from the district attorney. In times of emergency, the only constitutional authority to keep the peace during an invasion is posse comitatus under the Second Amendment, whereas our sheriff is to call upon we the people of the counties to secure the peace. Federal agents and foreign troops on state soil would be repugnant to our Constitution, an act of war. In definition of posse comitatus is, I quote, the power or force of the county, the entire population of a county above the age of 15, which a sheriff may summon to his assistance in certain cases as to aid him in keeping the peace, in pursuing and arresting felons, etc. That is posse comitatus. And the Bill of Rights Amendment 2 states, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state shall not be infringed, end quote. Marshals, like sheriffs, are guardians of the Constitution, and I believe Connecticut has marshals and not sheriffs, like most of the other states. Marshals, like sheriffs, therefore, are the guardians of the Constitution, thereby duty-bound to protect the due process of anyone standing before the court, as much as they are bound to execute all the lawful orders of the court. Due process requires a presentment or indictment of an impartial grand jury for all criminal cases. Therefore, juries decide if the law is just or should be applied concerning the case at hand, and any interference with that jury's prerogative is jury tampering and thereby a denial of due process. If a judge or prosecutor addresses the jury to persuade in the law, the jury is no longer impartial, and that judge or prosecutor is guilty of jury tampering. Conclusion. The lawful path. The sheriff is the people's last line of defense. The American sheriffs must educate themselves of the aforesaid duties and work with the awakened people across America to enforce the law with arrests and indictments. Only then can we save America from the tyrants that are destroying our American way of life, replacing law with fiction. If the sheriff is unsure of his duties, he can call upon the jury administrators once they are seated in the courts, and until that time, you can fax your concerns to this common law grand jury at the number above. And of course, you'll see that on the paperwork when you download it for yourself. And we will answer your concerns with the necessary law that will empower you. The fate of America literally rests in you doing the just thing. Okay. Any questions? Any comments? Do you all remember that from last week? If not, you can go back and listen to it. From there, according to my directions and my duties, tasks from John, I'm going to be reading from information document that I had mentioned, and that is, let me get to that, that is 16-02-22 Information Courts, okay, as a PDF. Okay, this was filed in the United States District Court for all 94 federal districts. The reason for filing it in all U.S. courts is because 18 U.S.C. 1961 through 1968, widespread RICO, 18 U.S.C. 2385, advocating the overthrow of a government, 18 U.S.C. 2384, seditious conspiracy with widespread mutilating, and 18 U.S.C. 2071, failing to file. The clerk is to file, and this is case number 1776-1789-2015, a quorum nobis. And a quorum nobis, as you probably know, before we ourselves, the King's Bench, applied to writs of error directed to another branch of the same court, for instance, from the full bench to the court at Nisi Prius. The fax number is 888-891-8977, by the way. This went to all federal judges, districts, or justices and magistrates. It was copied to sheriffs, all 3,133, U.S. Marshals, 94 of them, special agents, federal special agents in charge, 94, state militia, joint chiefs of staff, all federal and state courts, governors of all 50 states, assemblymen, all 50 states, senators in all 50 states, U.S. congressmen, 435 of them, U.S. senators, 100 of them, and news media, 4,396. And this is back in 2016. Okay, so the purpose of this information is to inform, define, and clarify acts of subversion. Quote, we the people are the rightful master of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. And that's a quote from Abraham Lincoln, by the way. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, hereafter we the people, is bound by law and vowed to the governor of the universe to act without any prejudice and to protect innocent people from being falsely accused. On May 13, 2015, we the people opened a court of record filing a quo warranto in all 94 Article III courts. Since then, we have filed a total of 12 papers, this paper being the 13th. And that's as of 2016, mind you. That's February 2016. More have been filed since then. And other papers in Oregon, all filed under the same case number, 1776-1789-2015. Copies can be found at the National Liberty Alliance under the RICO tab. All these papers address subversion against the United States of America from enemies, foreign and domestic, who have taken key positions within all three branches of our government, thereby seizing control of the helm of the executive, legislative, and judiciary, and have set America on a course of self-destruction. This conspiracy is orchestrated by the Bar Association in violation of 18 U.S.C. 2385, advocating the overthrow of government, abetting through a corrupt judiciary, and advising and teaching the overthrow and destruction of the governments of the United States of America, which includes the federal government and the 50 sovereign state governments. The United States have become subservient to a worldwide criminal organization, which makes this a law enforcement problem perpetrated by the very specific group of people who need to be held accountable and will be held accountable as soon as the sheriffs and marshals become educated enough to understand and recognize what's actually going on and start acting with we the people. The bar teaches that common law and therefore our Constitution have been done away with because they are obsolete, because tyrants control the curriculum of our educational system. Civics and the Constitution have not been taught in our schools for more than 50 years. People do not know the law, and the psychological operations of the tyrants have convinced many constitutionally ignorant elected, appointed, and hired government servants that homegrown terrorists endanger America. To the small degree that terrorists do exist, they are a creation of the psyops, in other words, the psychological operations, and the tyrants have convinced the mainstream population through fear that patriots, veterans, militia, ranchers, libertarians, constitutionalists, Christians, Ron Paul followers, Tea Party groups, and many other liberty groups are terrorists, when in fact the tyrants are terrorists using our own government as a tool to terrorize we the people. Because sheriffs aren't acting together, the bar-trained tyrants are starting to target the few sheriffs who see the problem and are standing alone. These tyrants are starting to call constitutional sheriffs terrorists as well. That is what it appears they are doing with Sheriff Glenn Palmer in Grant County, Oregon, for trying to protect the ranchers and go after the criminal judges. This will not stand, and we the people are addressing that issue shortly. Oregon sheriffs, along with other state county sheriffs, better get behind Sheriff Palmer, because this is a precedence that the tyrants have been trying to make for a long time, and if they succeed, county sheriffs across America will fall like dominoes. Sheriff Glenn Palmer's position is constitutional. It is the sheriff's prerogative to pursue what he believes is a wrongdoing and bring it to the grand jury for conclusion, because an untainted grand jury will be the final arbitrator for indictment. There is a time for every season, and today is the time to stand with Sheriff Glenn Palmer and other sheriffs under attack now or lose our county sheriffs, the only constitutional law enforcers, the people's last line of defense. And we'll be talking about that, whether your sheriff is or is not one like Glenn Palmer or, and other good sheriffs across the nation. This brings us to the main purpose of this information. Government agent provocateurs, and the by the way, the definition is here in the footnotes for agent provocateurs, and I am going to read that. An agent provocateur is French for inciting agent, is a person who commits or acts to entice another person to commit an illegal or rash act, or falsely implicates another in an illegal act. An agent provocateur may be acting out of their own sense of duty, or may be employed by the police or other entity to discredit or harm another group, such as a peaceful protester or demonstrator, by provoking them to commit a crime, in other words, entrapment, thereby undermining the protest or demonstration as a whole. Okay, so again, this brings us to the main purpose of this information, government agent provocateurs. And just to bring it home, I mean, if you have ever known someone who is able to just start talking and cause an argument between two other people, kind of triangulating them in, that's an agent provocateur in the making, or just a natural tendency for that particular person. They're the ones that kind of tear groups apart. So just kind of keep in their characteristics in mind as you deal with your COSs. Okay, so government agent provocateurs have been fueling a quasi-shadow government movement that essentially advocates the overthrow of the government. People in this movement, led by de facto Judge Anna Ravon Rice, de facto Judge Bruce Fichette, and de facto God-graced administrators Hakeem Fulch, who have taken on the self-appointed titles, are duping people from the liberty movements looking for a solution to the subversion within our government, who, being ignorant of the law, fall prey to Pied Pipers. Many who are following these de facto judges actually believe them to be properly elected or appointed. Even we thought for a while that Anna Von Reitz was an Alaskan Supreme Court judge. We spent many months attempting to verify whether she was even a real person, but when she finally surfaced, we saw that she was connected to this quasi-shadow government movement that we have been hearing about. But we have yet to identify the people who are part of the movement until now. We believe the leaders of this movement are fueled by government agent provocateurs. And you see how that kind of plays in there? A government agent provocateur actually can do something like that, even amongst liberty-minded groups. Recently, news reports have linked National Liberty Alliance and the Common Law Grand Jury to the quasi-shadow government movement, as have some law enforcers who have mistaken NLA and the Common Law Grand Jury for members of the quasi-shadow government movement. Therefore, we want to set the record clear that NLA and the Unified United States Common Law Grand Juries are not part of the quasi-shadow government movement. NLA is a facilitator of education in civics, common law, American history, and constitutional studies, and provide a platform for we, the people, to assemble and exercise our unalienable right of government by consent. NLA and the Uniform United States Common Law Grand Juries are not anti-government. We believe that our government structure is still intact, has survived the abuses from enemies, both foreign and domestic, and have infiltrated our government, that have infiltrated infiltrated our government, and that God will work through we the people to fully recover our constitutional republic. The problem is that criminals have positioned themselves in key government positions through unlawful political and covert operations and have been long assaulting our Constitution, our way of life, and our liberties, and through these covert operations have seized the reins of our government in order to bestow on themselves money and power. National Liberty Alliance and the Uniform United States Common Law Grand Juries. Unified United States Common Law Grand Juries do not endorse or entertain fictitious bills of exchange and redemption and or discharge through trust accounts, nor do we involve ourselves with contracts, commercial liens, or the exchange of an oath of office for value. We do not encourage or teach people to write declarations, drive without driver's licenses, or revoke their voters' registration, birth certificates, or Social Security numbers. Neither do we support self-appointed judges and international courts. The power of the grand jury is to write true bills of indictment, the true bills of presentment, and true bills of information, and to file such bills in Article III courts. It is up to the elected county sheriffs and the appointed U.S. Marshals to act upon such bills. Regardless of how the haters of liberty try to define the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, the proof of who we really are and what we are doing to save America is available for all to see. We copy all 94 FBI special agents in charge, all 94 United States Marshals, and all 3,133 county sheriffs with everything we file. We have no secrets. Our interest is in obeying the law of the land, Article 6, Clause 2, and we the people expect that all elected, appointed, and hired government servants do the same. We the people have successfully organized across the nation. We have reconstituted the common law grand jury in all 3,133 counties by filing press releases in the counties inviting people to gather to be introduced to the common law grand jury and give their vote of approval. The response across the nation has been an overwhelmingly positive, averaging a 98% approval rating. In order to righteously establish a unified United States common law grand jury, we first establish 50 unified states common law grand juries and continue to organize leadership in all 3,133 counties. Each state possesses its own seal and mailing address. Then we organize leadership in all United States federal districts in order to provide a federal administration to monitor and maintain the principles of the king in his court, which thereby is our court. Today we have national name recognition. Hundreds of thousands of followers established by Google Analytics, over 5,000 members, 1,393 county organizers, 115 state coordinators, 129 federal district leaders, 7 national coordinators, and 11 committees. And membership is growing exponentially. Once people come to understand that what we the people are doing, they understand it is the only peaceful solution available to save America. We the people understand that it is a wrongdoing to maintain a sitting grand jury indefinitely. The entire NLA membership, 5,000 plus, is a sitting grand jury for the sole purpose of dealing with subversion against the United States of America, after which the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury will disband. All other cases will be referred to the respective county administrators and jury pools once the subversion problem is resolved and administrations are properly established. We the people have no unified common law state or county grand jury presently operating. All 50 states have put their full weight and force behind the unified United States common law grand jury until Leviathan is squashed. Therefore, any court filing under any other name and seal is not from we the people, but issues from a fringe group taking advantage of the fruits of our labor while damaging our reputation, thereby trying to sabotage our mission. Power and authority of the grand jury. In a stunning 6-3 decision, Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority in the 1992 case United States versus Williams, confirmed, once again, the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branches of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. Justice Anton Scalia went on to say, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of buffer or referee between the government and the people. The common law of the Fifth Amendment demands a traditional functioning grand jury. The grand jury requires no authorization from its constituting court to initiate an investigation. And in its day-to-day functioning, the grand jury generally operates without the interference of a presiding judge and deliberates in total secrecy. We have insisted that the grand jury remain free to pursue its investigations unhindered by external influence or supervision, so long as it does not trench upon the legitimate rights of any witness called before it. Recognizing this tradition of independence, we have said that the Fifth Amendment's constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge. And that is, again, United States versus Williams, and it ends the quote. And it is under the authority and the preamble of the Declaration of Independence that we the people begin the Sureties of Peace Act, whereas we read that whenever, quote from the preamble, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter it, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness, end quote. The governments of the United States and 50 sovereign states belong to we the people, not to these tyrants that fleece us daily in our own courts, of which they have seized control, and we the people, by the will of God, will settle this in his court. The Court's Bench, February 22nd, 2016. Okay, that ends the readings. The lines, please open the lines for any questions or any kind of talk about your experiences with your sheriffs. And I yield.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Go for it. Identify yourself. First name, state.
California Fred.
California Fred, go ahead. You have the floor.
In your first, excuse me, in your first part of the reading, you mentioned that the judge would call forth the grand jury. I find that very offensive because the grand jury is supposed to be assembled by if two or three people are standing on a corner and they see something go on, they can call forth the grand jury because they're
correct.
Investigating something. And they can investigate right on up to the President of the United States. It does not take a judge to call forth the grand jury. That point has to be made because that's what we are. We're a contention of the people forming a grand jury. We don't need their permission. We don't want their permission. We want them to succumb and obey the Constitution. I yield.
Yes, thank you, Fred. I don't have the exact line number that came from, and it actually read, if a judge or prosecutor addresses the jury to persuade in law, the jury is no longer impartial, and that judge or prosecutor is guilty of jury tampering. And it does say in there that juries and the grand juries are from the people. So that is kind of established throughout these documents.
It is very early on, just after the very first part of the speech is where that inference of the judge shall call.
Oh, I hear. Okay, yes. Okay, so it's
that is
number
where I have
six.
A problem because that means that the damn judge has control over the grand jury, and that is not what Scalia was talking about.
Sure. So, yes, thank you. Thank you, Fred, for pointing that out. And what you can do is kind of go to the sheriff's duty in the county, and that is part six of the sheriff's mandamus. And it reads, the sheriff being chief executive, administrative, chief law enforcement, and highest peace officer of the entire county in which he was elected has the absolute authority to arrest even the governor or a judge and then call the grand jury directly for an indictment. A sheriff need not permission from the district attorney. So that's pretty much the first part where it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't
that's
cover.
That's the first part where it shows up. Wait, hang
it,
on, judges.
It doesn't
call.
Cover the coroner has the right to bring out the grand
yes,
jury.
Yes, he does.
It doesn't mention it though, and it doesn't point out that we should have runaway grand juries in this country. We have so much corruption, we don't know where to start. Runaway is good, and that's what needs to be brought out, in my opinion.
Exactly. You go for it, Fred.
I don't think Mother Day is cutting it anymore. I think it's a matter of you show up with a gun to enforce the law, and one hand's a gun, the other hand's a rope. There's an oak tree somewhere, and you're taking the law back to the people and away from the tyrants. That's
well, you're definitely doing something.
They're invading us with Muslims and Mexicans. When does it end? They're warring against the people with everything
you're
under
trying,
the sun. They're forcing vaccines that kill people.
You're trying to promote anarchy, and that's not what we're doing.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get overboard, but...
Yes, you did.
They're trying to kill us off. I mean, look at the Georgia Guidestones. Why isn't the grand jury investigating that?
Let's get back on.
Well, Fred, let me ask you this: have you talked to the sheriff in your county?
He's unreachable.
Unreachable. Okay, so yeah.
He's the kind of guy.
I'm sure that. Go ahead.
He's the kind of guy that would seek the favor of both parties, Democrats, Republicans. He doesn't want to be a political obstacle. He wants to be the kind of guy that generates funds from Washington and complies with all of the regulations D.C. puts out.
Okay. So
he's balancing that with Jerry Brown, who wants to be a sanctuary state.
Okay. All right. So I see what you're up against in California. And yes, thank you for bringing that to our attention. So we have corporate men that are in positions of power in the as far as the sheriff's office go. They're yes men, regardless of what the what's being said and what they even understand.
Well, I just
is that correct?
I wanted to bring up the point that the grand jury is not subservient in any way to a judge calling us up. In fact,
that's true.
The opposite. We the people see something wrong. We gather ourselves and go after it. That's what needs to be brought out. That's our missing command, because it's God who is in charge of this thing, and we are just his humble servants. Now, I understand Dan's coming from, you know. We're not going to show up with a rope and a gun, but that's an agenda. I apologize. It's just what's really going on in this world today is we have these agent provocateurs running the system, and the only way we can stop it is to get some form of recognition that they cannot overcome, with the people backing it. And it's got to be the people against whatever is trying to subvert the people.
I hear you.
And that's where I was going with what I started, is we don't need a judge. We don't need the sheriff. We don't need the coroner. The people themselves can call forth the grand jury, and the grand jury can investigate anything just on the suspicion that it thinks something might be wrong. That's what we need to do. With these devil worshippers in office, and the child kidnapping, and what's going on there with the pedophiles, that is enough right there for the Christian movement to get behind it and say, we don't trust any judge, any law enforcement, or anybody in any kind of, corporate position telling us, the people, to shut up and sit down. We're not standing for it. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, Brad, I've told you several times, because you keep bringing this subject up, that we the people need to do this, and we've talked about this, and I've tried to explain to you that, yes, you may be right. However, unless we all unite and stand up together, all you're going to do is be thrown in jail.
Well, let me tell you this. The difference between a democracy and a constitutional republic is that in a democracy, mob rule wins. We're not a democracy.
Well, you're right.
We are a constitutional republic where one man can stand against the masses with his rights. I am only trying to point out that we have rights, and you people seem to be getting permission from someone where it's not required. That's what I'm trying to say.
Fred? Go ahead, Nikki.
Fred? Okay, I'm sorry, Robert, but the thing is that in that document, in that sheriff's document, it does say exactly what you're saying in different words, but that one part is kind of misleading, possibly the way I read it. So please go back and read the document, and then, so that we know exactly what needs to be fixed in that document, and John can go ahead and do the fixing. But what I hear you saying is that that first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence is so important, because it points out not only the problems in 1776, but also the solutions to that problem. And the first paragraph is very seldom read, and it says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary, just like today, to dissolve, number one, dissolve the for one people, in other words, a unified people, to, number one, dissolve the political bands which connected them to another, or connect them to another. Back then, it was the Whigs and the Tories. Back in the first century, it was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Both times, there was money changers involved, Today, 1965, they took the silver out of the coin, contrary to what it requires in Article 1, Section 10. We are dealing with the same thing today, but number two has not yet been accomplished, and that's where you alluded to. Number two of that first paragraph says, and to assume amongst the powers of the earth that separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. Okay? And with that said, Article 6, and I didn't see it quoted in this information or in the other one, but Article 6 has got a first section to that. And in that first section, it says something about debts and contracts and engagements entered into prior to that Constitution is as valid today as it ever was. Some of us had ancestors that stood at the bottom of that mountain and they said, yes, we will obey. We appreciate the land and all that is in it, and we will keep those Ten Commandments. These guys are lying, they're stealing, they're cheating, they're coveting what we have. They have duped us into unconscionable and adhesive contracts, and the God, it says, in God we trust on their graven pennies and dimes and nickels and quarters, and it's, they pledge allegiance to one nation under God. Who's God? The God of Mammon or the God of the creation? Mammon was their creator, when you stop and think about it, because they were all formed as corporate entities. So, yes, but work out, and the strategy is for each of us to work out our own deliverance of this with fear and trembling.
Well, you know,
I yield.
It's what the MLA is trying to do is get the people to stand up and be unified. And it's what we're doing when we form the committees of safety is we are unifying the people of every county to where, as a nation, we are unified. And at that time, then we the people take back our power, and you have exactly what you want, Fred. I mean, that's I sympathize with, because you're right.
Yes, he is.
We know what was right. We know what's going on. But as it is, and which has been proven over and over and over, I mean, a group like the Bundys tried to do the right thing. Well, they've been in jail for 16 or 18 months or something like that. And it's because not enough people were unified behind them. And they would love for us to keep throwing small groups of people out there. We can't do that with a small group. We have to unify the people in large enough mass that we can say, no more. We are taking our rights back. But we have to have the mass. We have to have the people. We have to have them unified. Then we have our republic back. Okay.
And,
I have a question.
Do you yield?
I have a question.
Okay. Go
my
for it. First name and state.
Felicia from Florida.
Okay, Felicia.
I went down to the sheriff's office today because I'm going through a non-judicial foreclosure. I gave them the grand jury's documents months ago. And the other day, they sold the title and deed to my house, put a note on my door saying that they're going to file a ejection or writ of possession or something like that. And the sheriff was like, well, they didn't even the mortgage company, they don't think that the documents that I have from the United States Grand Jury, coming out of Grand Jury, are legal documents. Even the sheriff's office said that they don't think they're legal documents because there's not a number or anything to contact them and for them to get in contact with them. But they was like, they're going to have to, if they fill out the paperwork, they're going to have to abide by it. And I told them, you know, if you do, it's an act of treason. Because you're supposed to protect me from these unlawful proceedings. And they was like, well, the only thing that you can do is have the grand jury contact the judge. And that's the only way that they can stop the writ of possession. Because they don't think it's a legal document.
Huh.
What the sheriff said. And before I knew it, I said, you can't serve two masters. It just came out like that. And he was like, what do you mean by that? And I ignored him, but it just came out. It came out like that. I said, well, you can't serve two masters. He's like, what make you say that? And I just ignored him.
Very good. Very good. You were definitely led to say that, I would assume. Yes.
They don't think they're real legal documents. The mortgage company doesn't think they're legal documents. The sheriff's office doesn't think they're legal documents. And they said if they do a writ of possession, they have no choice but to abide by the court. And I was like, well, this is from a superior court. And he was like, well, we don't know if they're legal documents or not. So, you know, I don't know what to do.
And Felicia, you know, unfortunately, he's probably right because they're lawful documents, not legal documents. So may it be to him and his as he has done to you and yours.
Say again?
I said, may it be to him and his as he has done to you and yours. You know, because the documents are not legal documents, they're lawful documents. So there's confusion in their understanding of language. And I yield, this is above my pay grade. Go ahead, Robert.
We don't play those word games. And I don't even want to get involved with the word games. You know, legal and lawful to me mean the same thing. It don't mean the same thing to them. But I don't get involved in playing the word games with them. You know,
I told them it was an open case.
Yep.
They don't care.
Well, they don't know. You know, they don't know their job. They have been dumbed down just like everyone else. The sheriffs are no smarter than anyone else about common law or statute of law. They have their master, the state that they work for, and they're told that they take their orders from the judges.
Well, I told him,
if they would read the Constitution and understand the Constitution, then they would understand what you told them. But they haven't.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, they need to be educated, but they have to want to be educated before we can do it. And that's one of the biggest problems that we've had is trying to educate people that don't want to be educated. Because they think they are already.
Yeah, I even had to tell him. He was, like, talking down on me, and I said, excuse me, but please don't talk down on me like I'm incompetent.
Yeah, well, they, it's very frustrating to those of us that have been fighting it for years and years. It's just frustrating, very much.
I told him, I said, well, whoever comes to serve me these papers, they're going to be liable for damages as well. And he's like, well, we'll pay. I said, sir, you're not going to want to.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing about it. They might get your home now, but your home may come back to you later. And I'm not saying don't fight it, don't worry about it. I'm saying fight for everything you can do. But they're liable.
Right.
And sooner or later, they're going to find out they're liable. We are fighting a battle that we intend to win.
Right.
And I think we will.
Well, the mortgage company doesn't want to respond to the grand jury either.
No, I know. I know they don't.
Because they don't think their legal documents, which first they called it a letter. Let's see, it's not a letter, it's a summons. Whereas their lawyers said that they don't think that they came to the conclusion that it's not a legal document. That's what they told them.
Yes.
So the mortgage company and the sheriff's office is telling me the same thing.
Yeah, they, and they probably know better, but they're not going to admit that to you.
Yeah.
They want to keep their job.
Yeah, he said, well, I'm going to have to do my job if they do that. And I said, and he was like, I don't want you to be mad at me. I said, why don't, I'm not going to be mad at you. It's just you're going to be held accountable. So whoever does it.
I would have said, I wish you would do your job. Read the Constitution and find out what your job is.
He said he read it. I don't think he understood it, though. I asked him if he read the whole thing. He said, yes, he read it all the way through. I said, do you understand it? And he was like, yeah, and I don't consider it a legal document. And to, if I wanted to stop it, to have the grand jury contact the judge, because he was like, there's no phone number or anything. We don't know if this is legal or not.
Well, they need to understand that if we were not peddling legal documents, the FBI would have had us arrested for fraud long ago.
Right.
Because they've come out and investigated us on several occasions. And they don't find anything wrong. Everything we do is legit and constitutional. So, you know, they need to understand that we'd have been under the jail for fraud long time ago if they weren't legal.
And that sheriff is unconstitutional. I hope he understands that.
Well, he is, absolutely.
Most yes, sheriffs. He's absolutely, 100%. Remember, there are no degrees. There are no degrees. No degrees of constitutionality. You're either 100% or zero.
In order to stay on track, can I ask you, Felicia, what county in Florida are we talking
Lake
about?
County. Lake County, Florida.
Lake County. Okay, mm-hmm. Lake County. Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Go ahead. Do you yield and someone else wants to speak?
I yield.
Okay,
thank
you, Felicia.
I just wish that we had, and I don't know, there may be, but we really need the Committee of Safety in that county. And if there was...
We need a lot in this county.
If we had committees of safety formed, then they could take some action.
Well, it's kind of difficult for me to do anything because I don't have the resources that I need to. I mean, I have a computer, but I have no internet. I do everything on my phone. There's a lot of things I can't do with it, and I have to go to the library.
They rely on we, the people, not having anything and what we need.
Yeah, I know. You know,
they rely on that. And
well, they put me in the position not to have it. I can tell you that.
Yes. And so...
That's your modus operandi.
Mm-hmm. But I'm motivated by the fact that through my life, I have seen people with nothing succeed very well. But it's because they are unified in their mission with enough other people that they were able to make it work. We are not. I mean, we have a lot of people, we have a lot of members, but we do not have everyone unified together. They're not united. And I can't explain why. I sure wish we were all united, because we wouldn't be having any problems if we were. But so many people will turn their head so as not to see the problem. If they don't see a problem, they don't have to admit there is a problem. And so, therefore, nothing has to be done in their minds.
Well, they definitely haven't seen the last of me, so.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm going down there again tomorrow. I'm going to enter those documents into, they switched the title company again. I got the name of that, so I'm going to submit those documents. I'm going to record it on file and for the public to see with the title and the deed. So that's what I'm going to do tomorrow.
All right.
So they'll see me again tomorrow.
Good luck to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyone else? Anyone else want to talk about the sheriff in your county?
This is California Fred again. I would like to respond to what he just said about he doesn't know why we aren't united. I would say that I think we're divided by ignorance. People
to agree to a large part.
People are not educated on the same level to see things the same, and we're not all, we don't all have the same background in experience and knowledge. And a lot of people are on the fence because there are so many liberty groups out there being thrown in prison for no reason other than they're trying to do what they think is right. Then they find out that somebody else has the keys to the cell.
Well, that's the thing, and they're throwing these groups into jail to put fear in the hearts of others so that they won't pull the same thing.
Just like they did in Waco, yeah.
See, yep. that is why I think the most important thing is that we understand and we put this message out, that the grand jury is not subservient to the court whatsoever in any way. The judge doesn't call forth the grand jury. The grand jury can convene itself.
Well, we understand that.
Yes,
and
we understand it, but
that.
It's not in the paperwork.
It's taught over and over by John.
But it's not in the paperwork.
Anyway, Arizona Ed here.
About
we have formed a grand jury, and it hasn't gotten the job done, Fred.
Arizona's,
we have formed a grand jury.
Arizona is one of the most corrupt states. A lot of pedophiles in that state. And then you got McCain. Hell, he killed more VC and more people on his ship than the VC did.
Well, anyway, you know, we know what the solution is as far as how to take back our republic. But we, you know, we're working very hard to do that. We know what we have to do, and we're here we are tonight. Talking about committees of safety.
I understand.
Because we are trying to get them formed. If we could snap our fingers and form grand juries in every county, wow. The people would be educated, the people would be united, and we would have our republic.
If your committees of safety were a mousetrap to start the grand jury and we need no permission, I think that would get committees of safety up and running quicker.
That's what's going to happen when we get enough of them going.
Well, that needs to be the credo and the call. That needs to be the rally point, is committees of safety to start grand jury investigations. Three people can form one. Get it going in your county, your state, your city.
You may be right in a lot of what you're saying, but you're not thinking about the way things are.
Oh, I am. You know, I am. Because the way things are is you're subverted. They want to crush you. You're like a little boy squeaking, and they've got to silence it. I totally get it.
Well, they will silence it if people start doing what you're saying to do.
Not really.
They'll silence all of us one at a time. Unless we're united.
What's the idea? The spark of an idea gets out there that we can do this, and here's how we do it. And they stop it. There's another one growing up right behind it and prosecuting those that stopped the first one.
We are doing that very thing. We are forming the committees of safety. And once we have enough committees of safety to where we have the numbers, John DeRash is always saying that we need the people, and he's right. We need people. We need the mass, the critical mass. We need the critical mass in individuals. We need the critical mass in committees of safety. You know, we need the people. We need to be educating the people. We all need to be out there talking to our neighbors, talking to our friends, talking to anybody that will listen to us.
Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. I've been ousted by my family and everybody I know. No, it's like talking to the wall.
Well, Fred, I'm sorry you feel that way, but, I can agree with you on what you're wanting and what you're saying.
I understand. I thank you for that. I'm going to yield out and listen to other people. This is frustrating for me again.
Well, I understand it's very frustrating for all of us.
If I may give a point of information here for Fred, Robert?
Yes.
Can I have your time? Okay. Robert, I don't know, were you on the calls back in May?
Yes.
Are you there? Okay.
I was.
You were on the calls? Well, then there are links to Edwards' trial by jury, or not trial by jury, but the grand jury and Lysander Spooner's, and how to get them coordinated in your particular area. And if you have family and friends that are, quote, Christian, that claim they're Christian and they go by scripture, and they read in Revelation, two times in Revelation, that we're to become a nation of kings and priests, you can ask them, well, then how come you don't want to talk about politics and religion with me? Right? just kind of putting it out there for you.
Oh, I understand that one, but...
Well, just stay with us, Fred. We will succeed.
Yeah, hang on.
I'm not going anywhere. This is the only avenue I have left that actually makes sense to me.
Well, we will succeed.
And I also point out that under the laws of nature and nature's God, that, when he created the body, whether it's a body politics or a human body, okay, there's always assholes, all right, which, there's that. But that not all cells are skin cells, not all cells are heart, muscle cells, I should say, or brain cells or whatever. And we all wake up at different times. So just... trust the process, that it's at work. We're just not seeing it because some of these things are invisible to us.
Nice.
Oh, he hung up on me.
Alarm clock is going off, telling us it's time to close the call down.
The only thing I wanted
to
get across was the fact that we do not need Mother May I when it comes to grand juries. We need to be bold enough to start one up and be authoritative enough to make our decisions enforced. And that is...
Yes, and there are... Right, and there are tidbits of information on how to get that done back in May, okay? And there in the comments section are links to those things, those articles.
Well, I'm doing some research, too, but I'm not at liberty to discuss it. It's kind of like announcing things, you know what I mean?
Super, okay.
I mean, mm-hmm. I might surprise somebody someday and actually do something right.
Yeah. And California has been on the cutting edge of grand juries for a long time. Cavallis County, I believe it is, had those back in the 90s. So,
I'm in Monterey County.
Okay, I'm not quite sure where that's at.
Okay. That's, Monterey County is south of Santa Cruz County.
You're talking Greek to me.
Oh, it's the Monterey.
But that's okay.
Fort Ord, Monterey.
Okay. I could look it up. Thank you.
We're in the Central Coast.
Thank you for your input.
Okay.
Thank you for your input.
Mm-hmm. Okay, folks. So I've got another call I've got to make. So it's time we close this down.
Well, thank you for coming, everyone, and we'll see you next week.